that to closed session after.
Right.
Okay. 28.
Ms. Finch, you're a soldier. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
A resolution by Holloway, Mayo, and Johnson endorsing the principles and recommendations of the Milwaukee County Apprenticeship Work Group. This item was also referred to the Committee on Economic and Community Development.
Ms. Finch.
Good afternoon, Supervisor Mayo and members of the committee. It's been quite a while since I've been before a county committee, and I've missed you all. And,
you got to get a life.
Sitting here, what important business the county takes up. And I think our topic today is no different from all of the important stuff we've heard already today. So I'm here to speak about the experience of the Milwaukee County Apprenticeship Work Group that was established by Chairman Holloway and passed through the County Board of Supervisors in 2007. It took a little while to get the full group seated, and we had our first meeting in June of 2008, so we've been working at this project for several years now. The members of the work group, I've been the chair since the inception of the group. Supervisor Willie Johnson is a member. Lauren Baker from Milwaukee Public Schools Career and Technical Education. Ms. I.C. Feaster, my colleague at the Laborers Union, a 33-year member of the Laborers. Frieda Webb from Milwaukee County Community Business Development Partners. Don Nasky from the Office of Persons with Disabilities here at Milwaukee County. Anthony Rainey from United Auto Workers, Local 469. Joe Weasley, who's with the Southeast Wisconsin Carpentry Training Center. Nick Triscari, who is the Director of Apprenticeship Programming at Milwaukee Area Technical College. And Devin Turner from MMAC, representing Tim Sheehy. In addition to the appointed members of the work group, Martin Weddle was our staff assistant through the duration of our many meetings and all of our research, and he took minutes and kept us on track and arranged our space, and it's very, very, very helpful to our process. And we also had assistance from a researcher at the UW-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development who helped hold the document that you have together for us. So the process that we went through was we, really for the first 2 years of our existence, we met almost monthly. Very regular scheduled meetings. We brainstormed as a group speakers to come in and talk to us about the issue of apprenticeships and access to them in the Milwaukee area. We reviewed other reports, the two NAACP reports that were issued on the issue of access to apprenticeships by minorities, and in that time period also the Legislative Audit Bureau did a report on the issue of minority access to construction trade apprenticeships, specifically State Representative Barbara Scholes headed up that effort, and then she also did come and speak to the committee and to the work group as well. The Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards keeps good data now on their website for the State Department of Workforce Development. That data actually came out of some of the early NAACP work and process to get that data more regularly compiled by the state and publicly available. And so the work of our work has benefited from that groundwork laid by the NAACP. So in the report, we have some findings, and Martin's passing out just a little summary sheet that we put together. What we saw was between 2004 and 2007, a nice increase in the number of apprenticeships available to minorities in the Milwaukee area. I'm going to keep saying Milwaukee area. Some people, want to say city, county, and be very specific. One thing that I've really learned in my tenure getting to understand the construction industry a little bit better is that construction is a highly regional industry, and you may be working in your own neighborhood one day and the two counties over the next because you have to go where your contractor's taking you. And so we really need to look at this as a regional issue. So the data that's presented here on trends for minority apprentices covers, in some cases, cases a 4 or 6 county area, different apprenticeship programs cover different jurisdictions. So we were seeing trend in the right direction for minorities in apprenticeship positions between 2004 and 2007. We had a strong economy, a lot of construction happening at that time. There was very specific attention being paid to the diversity issue, both by the larger community and by joint apprenticeship committees themselves. It might be hard to believe now when we're in a jobless recovery and the daily news is about the need for job creation and high unemployment rates in our communities, but there was a very hot topic in the, at this time period of looking at the issue of attrition in the skilled trades and being worried about whether or not we were going to have enough workers to fill coming openings. That seems like a luxury now. I think that that's what we were worried about then, but it's true. And so that was a point in time when a lot of outreach and new recruitment was happening in trades. And then the final thing that I think that we analyzed to be issue relative to that increase in access to apprentices for apprenticeships was there were several large public works projects that had utilization requirements on them, and that drove a lot of the uptake in employment, particularly the Marquette Interchange and the City Hall restoration projects. So then the bottom fell out of the economy, and construction's been especially hard hit. We've had an overall decrease in apprentices to the tune of 35% in the Milwaukee area in the last decade. But the decrease for minority apprenticeships over that time period was 10%. So it wasn't sort of last hired, first fired. The decrease has actually hit white populations more than minorities. We just the bottom. We've really lost a lot of apprenticeship positions, but relative to the overall decline, minorities have held some ground. So that's a small bit of silver lining in the current situation. We did document, as you see in the lower half of that one-page handout, that we still face a disparity overall when we look at. Percentage of minority representation in apprenticeships being currently 15%, but minority share of employment overall in the area is 24%, so that's the gap that we're trying to close there. But when you look at, again, the changes over the last decade, you can see that a better increase in apprenticeships, so that, again, is a statistic that shows slow progress in the right direction. There are, so that 15% is an average over all the apprenticeship programs that the Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards has data for. But when you break that out, there were 8 Milwaukee area apprenticeship programs that had higher than the 15% average representation. And laborers was the highest at 48%, and you can read the rest there, bricklayers, roofers, cement masons, carpenters, iron workers, and painters, and then the non-union ABC program was at 15%. So we are hopeful that, I mean, we are always constantly at the labor hall being updated on projects that are coming online. We're hopeful that the infrastructure needs are going to be recognized both by state and federal government, and we're going to see additional road and bridge projects pick up. And so as that work takes root, we hope that we will see that these numbers and percentages go back up to and even surpass their 2007 levels. That's something that we are hopeful for. And then specifically in terms of the recommendations that the work group put together, a number of them had to do with things that the joint apprenticeship committees that are made up of both the contractors and the worker representatives could do to foster a more conducive environment for increasing diversity in their ranks, as well as ideas for Department of Public Instruction, Milwaukee Public Schools. And we did get some very excellent updates from Warren Baker at MPS about what they're doing in career and technical education. And I do think that it's important to know that tech and the reintroduction of certain types of training at a couple of Milwaukee high schools, but there is really a lot of pieces of the pie out there. We just need to get them all lined up and coordinated a little bit better, but there's a lot being done to put out the trades as a viable career path for people. One of the things that we really discussed is that sometimes it's our own biases, right? You know, we think that our child's path to success is through a four-year college degree, and so it's important that we're all working to not be looking at the skilled trades as a path of last resort, but rather as a good career choice for young people. So we had recommendations for, we're an ad hoc work group, right? We can sit and say, you should do this and you should do that. So that's what we did. And we tried to summarize our recommendations on the last two pages of the report that you have. The primary one that has to do with Milwaukee County was for you to consider enacting an apprenticeship utilization standard. There's many different ways to do that. The examples that we provide in the report are both the City of Milwaukee has apprenticeship utilization requirements for their Department of Public Works projects, and MMSD has requirements for their projects. And I just got updated information from MMSD today where they had thought they had commitments from contractors that anticipated hiring 23 apprentices. In actuality, they had 114 apprentices, and 30% of those were minorities. The Department of Public Works projects for the City of Milwaukee had 71 apprentices in last year, and 42% of those were minorities. So the committee felt quite strongly that the utilization policies does help drive demand, which then increases the opportunities for minority candidates for apprenticeship positions. So that's why we brought the recommendation forward that Milwaukee County consider such a policy for the work that they perform.
Thank you, Ms. Finch. I just want to know, when you say minorities, you are also including women in that. You don't break it down that way. I'm not sure.
Right, minorities can be male or female.
Okay. Supervisor
Demetriou. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the end of your kind of shorter sheet here, the highlights, you do suggest that a policy to place apprentices on the county projects, obviously would help create new opportunities. Listening to you, I know this, but I just want to make sure, if we were to do that, you definitely believe with the research that you've done that there's enough capacity to, because that's like one thing we hear sometimes, and it's totally erroneous, but if we were to do that, there's just not that many apprenticeship programs out there. And I mean, I know that to not be the case, but you can say on record that there's plenty of capacity out there.
I think that the policies, you guys are like the owners of the project, and you can drive the demand. And I think that it's really the policies that help signal to the industry what they need to do. And I definitely think that in this case, policy.
So the demand's there. You think it'll be reached?
For instance, the first Tuesday in April, the laborers will have their first test for the year. And I guarantee you there'll be people lined up outside the door to take our entrance exam. We have hundreds of people who have taken the entrance exam, passed, and given what we call a letter of introduction, which says, as far as the laborers are concerned, this person needs the basic qualifications to start on a job as an apprentice. And they can take that and kind of try to sell themselves to employers. But we have hundreds more people who have letters than have places to go work.
I see.
So there's definitely a pipeline of people.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Sue Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this report is hopeful, and it was really interesting to hear that you have more minorities keeping in the apprenticeship, right? That are keeping their jobs versus other
right,
individuals
proportionally. Right, yes.
Okay, and that's interesting. But I guess where after I got that shocking information, I immediately went back to the reality of, nationally, I guess we can all say that African Americans still are, you know, they're still not getting employment and gain and actually acquiring gainful employment regularly and more frequently, I guess. And so, would you have those numbers to compare to what we're doing here in Milwaukee, or are you just focusing on Milwaukee?
I guess what I can say is, in some ways, apprenticeship is a slightly different cut of the pie because apprenticeship is so tightly controlled.
Okay.
You know, when you enter in a program, you have to pass certain requirements. For our trade has sort of like the least onerous requirements to get in. You don't already have to have a high school diploma or a GED. You just need to be able to pass the ActiPlacer tests, which are at about like an eighth grade mm-hmm. reading and math level. You don't have to have a driver's license. You have to have reliable, consistent transportation to your employment, because if you don't show up on the job site, there's no way the contractor is going to keep you. But some programs say you have to have a GED or a HSED. You have to have a driver's license. So there's different programs that have different requirements, but it's a step training process where you earn while you learn. You have time on the job as an employee, and then you have time in paid-related instruction, learning the details of your craft. So it's a little bit different because once you're in, it's sort of a protected sort of stepping stone process to a real career.
Right.
The reason why you know, we've spent so much time delving into the issues relative to access to apprenticeships is we know it works. It is what trains someone for a career. When you just have hiring standards and you don't have this apprenticeship structure around them, we've seen projects in the area that say every contractor hires somebody for the neighborhood for the duration of the project. What happens to that person when that project is over? We have no idea if that propelled them onto their next step in a construction trade or not.
No, I think you're doing a great thing, and like I said, the report speaks for itself, so I applaud what you're doing.
And I know there's a lot of pages of data, and they're going
yeah.
to try to cut it down, but you know, I'm always available for, you know, additional follow-up on some of the finer data points.
Thanks.
Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval.
At this time, we have a motion to approve. Any more comments from committee? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Mayo.
Aye.
Porkowski.
Aye.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
On behalf of the work group, thank you. And I want to just say thank you. I don't have work group members here today, but they've been following what comes next after they bless the report. So I'll be happy to report that to them.
Thank you. Supervisor Miller.
Ms. Finch, I want to thank you for your patience, for your hard work on this, because from 2007 to 2012, you hung in there as a good, like I said, a good soldier and a good public servant. I want to say thank you.
It was a pleasure to serve.
All right.
Now I'm going to go burn my big stack of drafts.
Supervisor Miller. Did you want to go in full session?
No, item number 30.
Okay.